Good to pray. It's good. We are about to embark on, we're embarking on a study in the Proverbs, which will occur here on Sunday nights, until I see it going until the end of June, and it's not every Sunday night, but most Sunday nights. And I've been asked to do the first one, and of course that means that I should do a little introduction. And I'm hoping that my introduction doesn't use up all my time, because there are 33 verses in chapter 1. The directions we got from it was choose one or two verses from each chapter, because Proverbs are just loaded. It's almost impossible to read a proverb to someone and have someone listen to the proverb and not get lost in it. It's an amazing book. There are so many pieces of advice. As a matter of fact, there are approximately 1,000 proverbs in the 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. So there's lots there for you to study, lots there for you to learn. So let's see what we can do with this presentation tonight, and let's learn about the author, Solomon. Now, I have a feeling, I always get this feeling about biblical people, that we have some kind of an idea that these people were just about the level of a caveman. I can just see most Old Testament people that lived 1,000 years or 2,000 years or 5,000 years before Christ as kind of the caveman mentality, you know, the guy dragging his wife out by the hair and getting her to cook some wild game on the fire or whatever. We're going to hear from Solomon over the next few weeks. He is more than that, let me tell you. He was quite an amazing person. He is the writer of the Proverbs. He also wrote Ecclesiastes, and we believe that he wrote, of course, the Song of Solomon, three of the books of the Old Testament. He is the second son of King David. King David. And he was born to Bathsheba. Now, that's a whole other story of David and the problem with Uriah, who he had killed, and Bathsheba, who was the woman that he had an affair with, and eventually married her, and the first child died. The second child, his name was Solomon. So Solomon is in the ancestry of the Lord Jesus Christ, one of the ancestors, and you can read the ancestry in Matthew, and you'll see that he's there. Consider one of the world's wisest men, if not the wisest man. And his wisdom was from God Almighty, for which he prayed. He prayed for wisdom. A couple of times tonight we've asked for wisdom. At our table we prayed for the wisdom for the eldership of our assembly, that God gives them the right decisions as he would seek that. Okay, let's go and see what else we got. He became king of Israel. He says that in the first chapter. I'd like you, of course, if you have your Bibles, to open to chapter 1 of Proverbs. So the Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. So if you know where the Psalms are, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Proverbs is folded. Now, in relation to Solomon, I can't possibly talk about Solomon without talking about the temple. He's the builder of the temple, and you have to put that little number in your mind, because that's an important number. 950 BC, 950 years before Christ was born, he built the temple. His father, David, collected a lot of the materials to build the temple, but God prevented David from building the temple because of the blood that was on his hands. And his son, Solomon, then had the responsibility and was given the job of building the temple. This is a picture of the temple. These are artists' conceptions, because the temple was eventually destroyed. Notice that it is a very large building. Okay? It is also a walled building. We hear a lot about walls today in the news. We're hearing more and more about walls in the news. And this building up at the top, and I think I can point it out here, this is where the temple is that you were just looking at. It's in the top part of the building, and there are numerous walls around the building. You should also know that all the walls were destroyed. Well, no more comment about walls for now. The temple, the first temple, was built in the 7.5 years with thousands and thousands of workers. And it was opened in the year 950 before Christ. The stones were fitted together to build the temple were put together without mortar. So that means when you build a building that's kind of with just stone, you've got to know what you're doing. The Jewish people learned from the Phoenicians how to build this temple. The building, listen to this now, 3,000 tons of gold were used in the building of the temple. 3,000 tons. Okay? Valued it today, I looked it up on the internet, and as of Friday, the gold would cost you $1,262,400,000,000 to buy 3,000 tons of gold. That's more gold than is discovered in the world, with 8 billion people all kind of interested in having some gold. We don't collect that much gold in a year, even with all the equipment working and searching and developing gold. But he had enough gold to put 3,000 tons of gold into the building. He also put 20,000 tons of silver into the temple. At today's value, $8,320,000,000 into the building. Okay? I'll give you those not to impress you with the numbers, but I want you to understand, this guy was not a caveman, right? He was in the building business, and he did it right. He built an incredible piece of work that was seen. I want you now to take a short look at this building and think about it. It was built after the model of the tabernacle that was found in the wilderness, as the people went through, the children of Israel went through the wilderness. It was built under and modeled after the tabernacle. Okay, it had an altar of sacrifice, which you saw in that one picture. You'll see the menorahs, the seven-armed candelabras. You will see the holy place. You will see the Holy of Holies. You'll see the showbread. You'll see the altar of incense. All of these things were a part of the original tabernacle. And then in the holiest of holies was the Ark of the Covenant, which only was in the first temple. In the Holy of Holies, you'll see this. Now, this was done lately by a man with a lot of hard work. He put this together so we can now see basically a rough replica of what the temple was like. Let's take a look and see what it's like. Or you may have to go back there. There we go. Let's hear it. There's sound. In the year 586 BC, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, destroyed that temple. And he took all the gold back to Babylon. So it didn't last very long, from 960 or 950 to 586. 300 and some years. Totally destroyed. We hear of Jesus standing in the temple. It was actually the third temple that had been built in Jerusalem that the Lord Jesus stood in. It was King Herod's temple. He built the temple so that he might win over the Jewish people. He had it rebuilt. I have to think who it was that built the second temple. It was also destroyed. But the one that Jesus stood in, the third temple, Jesus said there would not be one stone left on another, that it would be totally destroyed as well. When Christ died on the cross, the curtain, there wasn't gold doors as there was in the video we've just watched for the original temple, there was a curtain that was in there. And that was the veil which was rent in twain, was ripped from the top to the bottom. And we were allowed then to come into the Holy of Holies. In that temple, there was no Ark of the Covenant. It was destroyed from the first temple. So we have quite a bit of a background about Solomon, that he was a pretty impressive person. Now, there's a story that I have to tell you. My time is almost gone, but I got it in this book here. This is from our library here at the chapel, and it's about King Solomon. And it's the story most of us as children would hear about two women and one baby. And this was to show you the wisdom that God gave Solomon, okay? And so we teach children this. They were concerned about this baby because the two women said, "The baby's mine." They brought them to, and the women stood before King Solomon, each claiming the baby was hers. And then there were no witnesses. There were no witnesses to this event who knew the truth. The entire court was puzzled. At last, Solomon ordered, "Bring a sword. Cut the baby in half," said Solomon. "And then each one of them will have a part of the baby." Okay? Well, what came the sword? One of the women agreed. "Good idea. Cut it in half. I'll take half. The other lady can have half." But the other fell to her knees, crying, "Don't kill my baby," she pleaded. "Better that she may have him and that he lives." And Solomon said, "This woman is the true mother. And so the child was given to her." This is wisdom. Knowing what's wrong and what needs to be made right. Knowing how to deal with justice and judgment and fairness. And that is what wisdom is about. And Solomon had that ability. Wisdom, it says in Proverbs 4:7, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. Wisdom, wonderful concept. And in all you're getting, get understanding. So with wisdom gives you some things, and with that comes understanding. And you notice you have to get it. You have to work at getting it. Okay, this doesn't come on its own. Today, wisdom is not much fashion in the world today about having wisdom. That's not one of the things in this world. Notice what the Lord Jesus said about the ages in which he lived, and then coming up, he said the queen of the south, that was Queen of Sheba, who came to visit Solomon. "The queen of Sheba shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold," now this is interesting, "a greater than Solomon is here." Would someone tell me who was greater than Solomon in wisdom? The Lord Jesus, yes. Jesus said that about himself. "A greater than Solomon is here." So we think Solomon was pretty special, and he wrote this book we're going to read from in the next few days. But Jesus said, a greater than Solomon is here. Well, you will not find the Lord Jesus' name in the book of Solomon, or Proverbs, rather. You won't find his name there. But listen, wisdom is from God, and wisdom is from the Lord Jesus, because he is God. In Corinthians it says, but of him are you in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God. The Lord Jesus provided us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So the wisdom we see in Solomon's writings are from the Lord Jesus. I personally believe, and others do it as well. But look at how we see in verse 4 and 5 of Proverbs chapter 30. There are 31 chapters, by the way, in the book. And in chapter 30 it says, who hath ascended up into heaven, or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fist? Do you remember someone who had the ability to calm the storm? Who hath gathered the wind in his fist? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who is the person who controls the waters of this earth, the oceans, the rivers, and the streams? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And this is really important now. That's why I put it in black. What is his son's name? What is his name? Jesus. This is prophetic in the book of Solomon. What is his name, and what is his son's name? There was a son of God. His name is Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins. Prophesied in Proverbs chapter 30. What is his son's name? Now, if you go through many, many, many of the religions of the world, they deny that Jesus was the Son of God. We believe that he was. What is his son's name? Actually, the Jewish people who don't want to know or recognize Jesus as the Messiah have a great deal of problem with that little phrase in the Proverbs. They would like to erase it. Because his son's name, they don't believe he had a son. They don't believe God had a son. But Solomon did. Well, let's go and just quickly look at what a proverb is. An apple a day keeps the doctor away. That is a simple proverb, okay? Just quickly, proverbs are old but familiar sayings that usually give us advice. Proverbs are also, you usually don't have to guess at the meaning. They're usually quite plain. They usually come in two parts, and also we don't have to put quotations on proverbs, because they are statements which have been accepted as quotations. So if you give that, if you write in a letter to someone, an apple a day keeps a doctor away, you don't have to put that in quotation marks. If you're an English teacher, that means more to them than us. The laws from heaven and earth. Now, if we were to read the first six verses of Proverbs, which we don't have time to do, you will see that a lot of this book is directed to young men. The wisdom of many of the Proverbs are directed to young men and how they should obey, live, whatever. And in those first few verses, it uses the word know, perceive, receive, give prudence, to give and to gain understanding and knowledge. Those are the first five verses that you read. And the emphasis is that you have to work at it. You don't just read the Proverbs. You have to think about them. You have to consider them. You have to work at it. To read the Proverbs means to do a little bit of homework. And might I suggest that as you come here and you hear that so-and-so is going to speak on chapter 3, I would suggest you read chapter 3 before you come here. because the person speaking here, like I am, is going to have to take two verses out of the 30 verses or whatever they happens to be, and do the best he can on those two verses. But there's loads of good information in the Proverbs. Actually, if you read a proverb a day every month, there's 31. So there's a proverb for each day of the month. Unless you're in February, then you got a problem because you're a little short. Proverbs chapter 1, then, and the verse that I've chosen to speak on, to mention very briefly, is the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. If you want to have understanding and knowledge, you fear the Lord and you listen to His word. You read His word. You put it into action. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, if you read the rest of the chapter, that's what you're going to hear about. And if we go to verse 20, in fact, I'd love to read a whole section of it here, but I can't. It talks about wisdom and wisdom personified. It talks about wisdom as a woman, which is interesting. Oh, by the way, ladies, chapter 30 of Proverbs is for women. Specifically, it's a wonderful chapter, 30, it's just loaded with the virtues of a woman and what a wonderful wife can be. Ooh, 31. Eh? 31. Pardon me, 31, thank you. I get mixed with, I was in the other one. Yeah, 31, thank you. 31, and it's a wonderful, wonderful read. And I haven't been assigned 31, so here we are. If you are a fool, and if you deny the wisdom and aren't interested in these things, the Lord kind of has some very specific things that He says in caution. And these are the verses, 28 of this chapter 1. He says, then they will call on Me. There's going to be a day that people will call on the Lord when they finally wake up that they should have paid attention. And what does He say? Then they will call on Me, but I will not answer. This verse just gives me the shudders. When people have denied the Lord and denied the Lord and denied the Lord, the Lord will say, okay, you denied Me. I'm done with you. I will not answer. People think, oh, I'll live my life and at the end I'll just say, oh, nice little prayer and the Lord will just forgive me and that's it. Doesn't always work that way. They will seek Me diligently and they will not find Me because they hated knowledge. They didn't want to listen. They didn't want to perceive. They didn't want understanding. They didn't want knowledge. And they did not choose to fear the Lord. We have to make a choice. And there comes a time when the Lord will say, that's it. They would have none of My counsel. They despised My every rebuke. When I warned them, they wouldn't listen. Therefore, they will eat the fruit of their own way, and they will be filled to the full with their own fancies. Boy, that's tough stuff, folks, because we tend to give people an easy gospel. Oh, the Lord will just forgive you. Be careful. They will be full of their own fancies, for the turning away of the simple will slay them, and their complacency of fools will destroy them. This is very serious. Fortunately, the next verse exists. But, thank the Lord, there's a but. Whoever listens to Me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. May the Lord bless His precious word to us as we study the book of Proverbs. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for Your precious word. And may we take it seriously. And may we consider it carefully. And may we perceive what it's trying to tell us. And may we be filled with wisdom and understanding, not just head knowledge. And may we learn to love you in all your glory and all your forgiveness as we seek you in our lives. Bless our time together, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.